It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. On today's show, we're telling the tale of two cities, Pittsburgh and Detroit. Now is the summer of Detroit's discontent. As you may have heard, the Motor City has defaulted on its massive $18.5 billion debt, offering its creditors a mere 10 cents on the dollar. Detroit is bankrupt, and we're looking at the questions of why it happened, how Detroit can recover, and the ways this is a cautionary tale for Pittsburgh, as well as what Detroit can learn from us. I'm joined now in Studio A for the first part of the program by attorney Barbara Ernsberger, the former commissioner of the City of Pittsburgh Department of Planning and City of Pittsburgh Democratic Chair. Barbara Ernsberger, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, Paul.
Also with us is Anthony Davies, Associate Professor of Economics at Duquesne University. Anthony Davies, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
And we welcome your comments and your questions at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm. You can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Anthony Davies, you pointed out in a recent piece that you wrote for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review that Pittsburgh has almost completely recovered from the recession, while Detroit, by contrast, has not even come close. So if Detroit is not even close to where we are, why is that?
Yeah, Detroit's unemployment numbers for the city itself are up around the level that we had in the United States at the height of the Great Depression back in the 1930s. Pittsburgh, by contrast, is back to where it was in the pre-Great Recession days. And my opinion is that the major difference is that when Detroit fell on hard times, it turned to the federal government for bailout of its industries. Pittsburgh had no bailout. When steel crashed, it crashed. And that was very painful for Pittsburghers. But what Pittsburghers did was to look around and find out what they do well and invest in those industries. And so that laid the groundwork for a very healthy, robust economy come the Great Recession. And we felt the Great Recession far less than the rest of the country did.
Let's clarify a couple of points. First, you said Pittsburgh has come all the way back. And that means what?
In terms of jobs.
Okay. So we've made up all the jobs that were lost because of the recession?
That's right.
And then when you say that Detroit, that the government bailed out Detroit, in what way did that happen?
Well, it bailed out, you know, the major industries there, the automotive industry, was bailed out at least twice over the course of the past 30, 40 years. And what happens when you bail—
sorry to jump in again, but the most recent time was when President Obama—
That's right.
Did that. And had it not happened, the industry would have gone under, by all accounts.
This is correct. And you're always playing a trade-off game here when you bail out an industry. The good news is all in the present, that here are jobs that aren't going to be lost because we're going to bail out this industry. The bad news comes long-term. Long-term, what you're doing is encouraging a company that has demonstrated that it cannot use its resources well to continue to exist, and you shove out of the picture entrepreneurs who could use those resources to better effect.
Barbara Ernsberger, what's your take on what Anthony's saying? He's saying that if you allow the government to come in and save an industry, which President Obama, in the case of saving the auto industry, was given high marks for doing, that it pushes out the entrepreneurs. Does it come down to a matter of too much government intervention as the cause of Detroit's problems, in your opinion?
Well, I think the government intervention in Detroit was a temporary fix. And you got to remember, the intervention was for the companies. It wasn't for the city of Detroit, which remained in the status of unfunded pension liabilities and every other issue that is plaguing Detroit.
Isn't that the real problem, the pensions? I mean, if the city is $18 billion in debt, and the health care liabilities are unfunded, and you're looking at a $9 billion pension debt, isn't that really what is at the heart of Detroit's situation right now, or is there something else?
Well, I think it's a complex thing. First of all, you had the collapse of an industry. I mean, the automobile industry changed and much of it went away. By the way, they were doing successful sales in automobile industry in China, even while they were asking for money here in the U.S. So you have the collapse of how people were making their living, and that went over a period of decades. And then you have government that was promising things that they couldn't deliver, basically, or didn't understand that they would not have the ability to deliver. And you end up with two different things going on that are very negative. If people can't get jobs, they're going to move out of the city. The property ends up abandoned. The city can't collect taxes. Meanwhile, it has to deliver services to the people that were there. So you have this confluence of things that create a very negative environment for the city of Detroit.
So, yeah. So the pension problem, again, is a big part of it. And you say only part of the mix. But certainly it can serve to submarine a city. How has Pittsburgh been able to avoid the pension problem that is plaguing Detroit?
Well, the city has had to go through a number of different changes to start to ameliorate the pension problem in this city. The city essentially had three separate pensions, the first of which was totally unfunded. The city ended up with an unfunded pension liability in 2011 of about $700 million, which is a heck of a lot of money. And they started to figure out the state was going to come and take over, and the city directed through a lease all the parking revenues and gave a big shot of money to the pension fund. So they have now brought down the unfunded pension liability has been brought down to about 600 some million, which is a heck of a lot less. It's about half of what it was. It was 700 million. Now it's down to around 600. So they have really done a good job in that regard. They also have done better with their investments and how they do their portfolio, which is a technical issue that I can't really get into here, but they've done better with how they've invested their monies. But they still have a very large unfunded pension liability.
And you're talking about Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yes, still has a large one. Plus, they have a certain structural aspect to it. It's hard for them to control. For instance, the state has set what pensions must be for like the public service employees, such as the firemen and the police, and they promise out benefits. This is state government, but the city has to deliver the money, which it doesn't have. So that's and there's very specific things that should be changed to ameliorate that situation also.
How has being under Act 47 impacted the financial picture in Pittsburgh?
It's been a benefit to Pittsburgh because we had oversight. And it was a way of going and saying to employees and vendors and everything, we have got to bring these monies down. And it was a way of getting the lease with the parking revenues to be placed into the pension rather than just go into the operating account, which is normally where it would go. So it's been a benefit to us, and it seems unfortunate the people you elect need somebody over them to tell them, look, you've got to bring this all into line. There's been certain other benefits they've been able to do, such as obtain monies from the gambling revenue, casino revenues, and that gets directed. The city has to say where they need to apply it, and then those monies can be applied. So they were able to get that funding stream that way. So I think it's been a benefit. When I first knew that it was going to happen, I thought, this is awful. But then after a while, I thought, if they're not doing the job, somebody's got to step in and make it all happen.
We're talking about the problems plaguing Detroit, their relationship to the challenges we face here in Pittsburgh, with Barbara Ernsberger, a Pittsburgh attorney, former commissioner of the City of Pittsburgh Department of Planning, and also Anthony Davies, associate professor of economics at Duquesne University. You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm. You can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Anthony Davies, why didn't Detroit handle the whole issue of industrial decline as well as Pittsburgh?
Well, when you have a decline economically, you can do one of two things. One is you can turn to the government and say, help us out. The other thing you can do is turn to your local entrepreneurs and empower them. And the way you empower them is by removing constrictions. Let the entrepreneurs, let the investors do what they do to the maximum benefit. And what they'll end up doing is finding out where Detroit, in this case, needs new jobs, where it needs new businesses, new types of products, and direct resources there. When you turn to the government and say, help us out, what you're asking are politicians who don't have a vested interest in the outcome, who aren't there on the ground knowing what's needed most. You're asking those politicians to make decisions.
And you're saying what Pittsburgh did not do. What did Pittsburgh do?
Well, it's more important what Pittsburgh didn't do. What it didn't do is receive a bailout.
when you don't receive a bailout, you have what appears to be a vacuum. But it's not a vacuum. What you've done is you've created a space where your entrepreneurs can now move in and do what they perceive to be best for Pittsburgh. And that's precisely what happened. You know, the great industries we have now, research, healthcare, are all came about after we allowed steel to die, opening up this chasm for entrepreneurs to come in and create new industries.
So are you saying that Detroit should have allowed the auto industry to die?
Yeah, I am. I am. And that sounds harsh. And remember, we're always playing a trade-off game. The question is, do you want the pain now or do you want the pain stretched out over the next several decades? Pittsburgh took pain now, and we're past that, and we now have the economy we have. Detroit chose the other. They chose pain later, and that's what Detroit is now currently paying.
What do you think of that idea, Barbara?
I think the bailout didn't work. I mean, it was a temporary fix, and they should have structured something additional into the bailout just beside shooting money into the companies, and they didn't do that. There should have been a more overall look at what was really going on. I mean, you should have involved state government in Michigan, and it had to be a bigger look, because now look at what they've got. They've got a city sitting there of 120 miles in circumference, which is the 40 or some large percent of the housing stock has to be torn down. Nobody's living in it. It's being torched. They have a disaster on their hands, and that's really what it is. And it's going to take an awful lot of time and money to correct all of that. Hopefully, there will be room. I understand about 7 miles of the city is being improved by what you would call entrepreneurial effort, people coming into the city and wanting to do things. Hopefully, that will continue and expand, and they have to figure out a way to help them do that. But it will be very slow. We were lucky here in the city of Pittsburgh that we retained a livable city. People live in the city and like to live there, and they all looked around them, and they developed real estate, and they start developing businesses, which is what Tony was talking about, and that's what happened here. And we had a stronger core to work with, I think, than Detroit has. I wanted to correct one thing. I made a mistake. We now have $450 million unfunded pension liability, not 600-some million.
$450. Well, that's a
I made a $200 million mistake.
That's okay.
It was the reverse figure I should have given you, and I wanted to correct myself. But we've done a lot of things, and we have to do a lot more in this city, because our biggest form of taxation is the property tax, and about 43% of the taxes, the real estate is owned by nonprofits and cannot be taxed. So that's a huge problem for us that we have to correct.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Sam in Aspinwall and let him in on the conversation with Barbara Ernsberger and Anthony Davies. Sam, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, how are you? I was listening to what your one guest had to say. I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name.
Anthony Davies.
Yes, the gentleman set up a sort of an oppositional argument of fostering entrepreneurial economic activity versus asking the federal government to bail you out. And I think both in the history of Pittsburgh and in the case of Detroit, that's really a really simple way of looking at it that I don't think really works. Because on the one hand, entrepreneurial activity and fostering that by removing restrictions is important. But also what Pittsburgh what the Pittsburgh industries invested in were things that there were customers out there. There was a demand for biomedical and the other areas, healthcare and in our universities. There was a demand for that, and I think the industries that Detroit has tried to invest in, because there has been some investment there, there's not been as big a demand in the economy over the past 30 years. It spans the difference between Detroit falling apart and Pittsburgh falling apart.
So you're
the
asking
demand for things in general are different, and so I mean, just saying, well, it's a matter of entrepreneurial versus government.
You're saying that there has to be a demand that a city can meet. So it sounds, Sam, like you're essentially asking here is that if Pittsburgh went from steelmaking to meds and eds, Detroit can go from cars to what then?
Well, I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm asking our experts. Right. I'm asking our experts.
Yeah, I think Sam hit the nail on the head when he said, you know, what's different is in Pittsburgh, we invested in what customers demanded. And when I talk about, you know, the dichotomy of government helping versus entrepreneurs helping, what I'm saying is the entrepreneurs know better than the politicians what it is that customers demand. So Sam's absolutely right. But my argument is the path to get there is to empower the entrepreneurs.
Let's go to Vi. Is it Vi or VJ, maybe, in Squirrel Hill? Hi, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, it's DJ.
DJ.
Yeah, right. I just have two quick points and questions, and I'll let you go. The first one is you just mentioned about the bailout, the auto bailout in Detroit. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I've read that money has been paid back to the federal government. That's number one. And number two is, are we in this problems most of the time because of poor leadership, and that's what you've alluded to, and the misappropriation of funds? Thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you. And what about DJ is saying?
Yeah, it's actually a misconception. The money hasn't been paid back. What happened was GM handed over a bunch of stock. So it paid off the debt, handed over
stock.
Which
is why people say the U.S. Government owns the auto industry.
Right, exactly. But it handed over the stock in exchange for the debt being wiped clean. Now, the kicker is the stock GM stock price is going to have to double or triple before the federal government makes back the total amount of money they invested.
Would you invest?
In GM?
In the auto industry, yeah.
No, I wouldn't touch it.
I was a GM investor. I used to have a stock program where I could invest $25 a quarter. I did that faithfully. I was a young mother, and I thought, okay, I had a couple shares, and I would expand them. I lost it all when they went through one of their bankruptcies. The whole thing got wiped out. So I've been doing it for like 20, whatever it was, from when I was first married to when the bankruptcy occurred, and it got all wiped out. So no, I would not invest in GM.
So as we wrap this up, in terms of a cautionary tale, what are the lessons Pittsburgh can learn from Detroit?
I would argue that the lesson we can learn from Detroit is there in the universe, there's a conservation of pain, and you're either going to have it now or you're going to have it later. And what Pittsburgh did is it buckled down and said, okay, we're going to plow through the pain now, and we come out the other side with a more vibrant economy. And the way to do that is to harness your entrepreneurial talent.
I think Pittsburgh has to be proactive. It has to have an environment where younger people want to stay and work and develop their lives here. I think we have to search the world to find people or businesses that will come here and help us develop. We can find them everywhere, and we should do that, and that should be an active form of the government of the city of Pittsburgh. They should have active outreach. So those are some of the things I think we have to do.
Barbara Ernstberger is a Pittsburgh attorney who is former commissioner of the City of Pittsburgh Department of Planning, and Anthony Davies is associate professor of economics at Duquesne University. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Coming up, journalist Ben Schmidt recounts why he left Detroit and what is the mood in the Motor City. We'll hear from Detroit talk show host Craig Folly. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.